Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and the Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on tithing in the Scripture, or tax protest in the Scripture, when we come back. Well, welcome to Tax Freedom Day. That's May 12th. That's right, May 12th every year. You work all of January, February, March, April, and the 3rd of May to pay your income tax for the year. And then that's not all. Then you get to work the rest of May and all of June to pay your withholding taxes. Now, this income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal enterprises. They're criminal enterprises because the income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and Social Security is the eighth plank. The income tax and Social Security also violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Scriptures, including our English common law. Now, more than 14 million Americans are no longer enrolled in the Social Security system, and more are opting out every day. Now, that's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask this question: do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? Why don't you call or write today for my free general law CD package? Now, to order that free general law CD package, all you have to do is call direct 417-273-4967. Or you can go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email, and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of tax protest in ancient times in the Bible. And I pointed out to you that there was plenty in the storehouses when we were paying tithes. Anciently, Nehemiah and Ezra both said, both reported that they had plenty of money. Isn't it about time that our government comes and says, listen, we got plenty of money. We don't need any more taxes. We need to reduce your tax load over here. We got more than we know what to do with. I pointed out to you that the United States of America is a god. The United States of America is a sovereign power. And last time I pointed out to you that the income versus the tithe, income is a tax that is applied called an excise tax. It's a tax on a privilege. What is the privilege that you people are engaged in for which your government is taxing you? Do you have a right to property? Yeah. In fact, in Diefendorf versus Galay, the court tells us in Idaho, and this is a truism throughout America, that income is devised as, or described as, something derived from property, from labor, from skill, or from ingenuity or sound judgment, or from two or more in combination. And income is not property, but rather income is something derived from property. So I explained that to you last time. For example, a cow is property, but the cow is not income. Milk is property, but income is something that comes from cows and milk. We don't tax the cow until you sell the cow, and then we tax the dollars that come from the sale of the cow. We don't tax the milk until you sell the milk, and then we tax the dollars that come from the sale of the milk. We don't tax your labor. We tax the dollars that you converted your labor into. So it's a truism that labor is not taxed because labor is property. Property has never been assessed or taxed in the United States. I know that's kind of wild, but that's the way the law works. The same meaning appears to have attached to the term property in all subsequent taxing legislation and in the taxing practices of the executives, and we take judicial notice, citing now again from Diefendorf versus Galay, 51 Idaho 619. We take judicial notice, the court says, that income as such has never been assessed or taxed as property in the state of Idaho. Property has never been assessed or taxed in Idaho. It isn't assessed or taxed in Missouri or in the United States of America. And I'll just bet you that you people in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and Great Britain, I'll just bet you in every Israelite country around the world, property isn't assessed or taxed. But the trick is they have moved you from property to income. They've moved you from rights to privilege. Privileges are taxable. Privileges are franchises. An excise tax is a privilege tax. Why are you dealing in privileges? Why don't you deal in your rights? Your Constitution is filled with rights. But you've traded your rights for privileges. Now, only one state, Alabama, has ever called income property, and that was in 1928. That error was corrected in 1932. Every court is in agreement. Income is not property. Income is a partnership under contract between you and the state. The income tax, in reality, is a protection racket. You know how a protection racket works, don't you? You see, you got a little store in New York City, and some guy comes in and he says, listen, you need insurance. And you say, well, no, I've got insurance from Mutual of Omaha. And he says, no, no, you don't understand. You need on-the-street protection because you're going to have a fire here in your store and it's going to burn your store up. So you pay us $400 a week and everything's going to be cool. And you say, no, I'm not going to buy insurance from you. And the guy says, do you see the store down the street in the next block? It burned last week. He didn't have insurance either. Do you see all the other stores here? They all pay $400 a week. Nobody has a problem. Only the stores that don't have insurance, don't have protection, have a problem. You don't buy the insurance, the following week your store burns down and you understand the protection racket. In the United States, we have an income tax. This income tax is a protection racket. If you pay it, everything's going to be fine. If you don't pay it, then things are going to get nasty. They're going to get ugly. We're going to padlock your doors. We're going to arrest you and haul you off to jail. We're going to punish you. We're going to do all kinds of bad things to you. Now, people in New York understand a protection racket, and you ought to understand a protection racket with the United States government and with your state governments and your county governments. Now, of course, these people are dealing in excise privileges. They're not breaking any laws. They've gotten you to break the law. And then they come around and they fine you or they punish you for breaking that law. Here's the way it works. You see, income is necessarily the product of the joint efforts of the state and the recipient of the income. The state furnishing the protection necessary to enable the recipient the ability to produce, receive, and enjoy it, and a tax thereon in the last analysis is simply a portion cut from the income and appropriated by the state as its share thereof. Now, that's cited directly from Diefendorf versus Galay. Let me read that to you again. It's a protection racket. The court said, quote, income is necessarily the product of the joint efforts. Joint efforts, that's a partnership of the state and the recipient. That's you, the state, and you. Of this income, this excise privilege. The state furnishes the protection necessary to enable you, the recipient, to produce, receive, and enjoy this income, and a tax thereon in the last analysis is simply a portion cut from the income and appropriated by the state as its share thereof. Diefendorf versus Galay, page 637. Hey, I didn't write that. I'm just reporting to you that that's what your courts are reporting to you. Now, if you're a doctor, a dentist, a professional, all of the professions are excise privileges. That's why they want everybody to go to college, see, because people that go to college waive all of their rights under the Constitution for excise privileges that they can exercise out in the marketplace. After all, you want a monopoly, and you get a monopoly as a doctor, no one can compete with you, because if they do, we're going to arrest them and jail them. Same thing with the pharmacist. You know, I had a pharmacist here not too long ago. And he's licensed, bonded, and insured, went to college, and he's got his degrees, and he's licensed. And then you got these guys down on the street corner over here competing with him. And that's why the police have undercover agents out there catching the drug dealers, because the drug dealers are out here undercutting the government-approved price monopoly down at your local Rexall drugstore. Yeah, in fact, we figured it out. A quarter ounce baggie, a quarter of an ounce of marijuana. I call that a baggie, I believe. And it sells for $80 up in New Jersey, $80. It sells for 25 times that in the drugstore. They've got legal marijuana. You can buy it in pills and capsule form. You can get cocaine. You can get heroin. Any illegal drug you can get on the street, you can get in a better, purer form for 25 times more in the drugstore. And that's why they're mad at it. That's because these private entrepreneurial drug dealers on the street are effective competitors with the big drug companies, and they don't like them. Now, much confusion of thought arises from regarding the income tax as a tax that is levied upon or attaches to property as such, irrespective of the person sought to be taxed. However, it is the recipient of the income that is taxed, not his property. And the vital question in each case is, has the person sought to be taxed received an income during that tax year? And they go on to say, but the tax is upon the right or ability to produce, create, receive, and enjoy. It is not a tax on specific property. But the tax does not seek to reach property or an interest in property as such. It is a burden laid upon the recipient of an income. And upon a complete survey of the field of precedent, we have reached the independent conclusion that income is not property for the purposes of taxation under the provisions of our Constitution. And to summarize, we have decided, first, that a tax upon net income is not a tax upon property. Two, such a tax is an excise tax. Three, the legislature has power to impose this tax. And four, the income tax law was validly enacted. Now, that comes right out of the Supreme Court of Idaho. I selected that case because it spells it out in spades. There's no ambiguities there. Income is an excise tax. It's a privilege. It's a privilege tax. You know, if you would quit dealing in these privileges and go out here and deal in property, which is a right, and claim your rights instead of franchises and privileges so that you can compete in trade, commerce, business, and industry, you'd be in private business. Private business isn't taxed. The income tax is a counterfeit of the tithe that is to be paid to our sovereign and king, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In place of that tithe, we pay our income tax to our God, the United States of America, California, Florida, New York. That's called idol worship in the Bible, in idolatry, which are crimes, capital felonies. And that's not all either. The income tax requires that we violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Mosaic Law that we agreed to at Mount Sinai. You see, when we were out at Mount Sinai, do you remember that trip? Oh, you can't remember Mount Sinai? Well, listen, 84 generations ago, your great-great-great-great-granddaddy was standing out there at the foot of the mountain, and he said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. That's what he said. And you can read that for yourself. It's in Exodus 24:7, I believe it is. Exodus 24:7. And the benefits that inured from that contract, that covenant, called the Old Covenant, inure to the heirs and assigns forever. Now, I don't know how long forever is, but I do know this, taint up yet. And you're one of those heirs and assigns, and you're entitled to those benefits. But you also are entitled to specific performance under the terms and conditions of the contract, and that's called duty. You have a duty to specifically perform the terms and conditions of the Old Covenant law. You know, things like the Ten Commandments, statutes, judgments. And if you don't, then you get a penalty. And that's called the penal clause to the contract. The contract's penal clause is spelled out in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 26. All right, we got to take a little break here. We'll be back to talk more about tax protest when we return. Stand by. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and eighth planks of the Communist Manifesto. These programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. The income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. This income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. And the income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. And the income tax requires that we sign contracts with foreign and alien gods called governments in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. And Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. Social Security also violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed. And then we're taught to call that income redistribution. The scripture calls it covetousness and theft in violation of Exodus 20, verses 15 and 17. Well, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way and wrote it right into our Constitution. And that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn and practice a better way than income tax and Social Security. Now, for more information about tax and status, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Let me give you that again, 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, best of all, it's free of charge. And Tax and Status, the school, is available on compact disc with all of the paperwork to go with it for home education. If you can't come to school, we'll educate you at home. And if you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org, click on to the email and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. All right, we're talking about the income tax. It's a counterfeit of tithing. That's to be paid by our sovereign and king, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In place of that tithe, we pay our income tax to our God, the United States of America. We pay it to California. We pay it to Florida. Now, this is called idol worship in the scripture. It's a violation of the first commandment that says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Taxation is a public commitment on your part. It's a public practice of worship or doing obeisance to your master. It's a master-servant relationship. Did you notice? You don't find the United States government paying you tax, do they? It's you, the citizen, paying your sovereign, your master, a tax. Well, that's what God told you to do in the Ten Commandments. He said, "I'm your God, and what you do is you worship me. And don't you worship any of these other false gods out here like the United States and Germany and France and some of these other countries, these gods." Well, in Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus made this observation. He said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other." You can't serve God and mammon. America is filled with people that tithe and pay income tax. They tithe to their churches, which don't have any claim on the tithe whatsoever, and then they pay the income tax to their various state and national governments, which is a violation of the first commandment. Well, Jesus told you couldn't serve God and mammon. These people come to the conclusion, yes, we can, and watch this. And they do. They serve both. I don't know how that's going to come out in the judgment. I guess they can walk up and God will ask them, you know, well, how come you were paying tithe to this church and paying tax to the U.S. government? Whatever happened to me and my tithe, and whatever happened to the Levitical priesthood, and whatever happened to the program that I set out at Mount Sinai? Did you ever practice any of that law? In Luke 6:44, he asks that question. He said, this is the Messiah, this is Jesus. Remember, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then do not the things which I say?" Now, either you owe a tithe or you owe a tax, but you can't owe both. Now, if you pay your income tax and you have made your choice to deal in income, interest, and usury, dollars, and unjust weights and balances, so then pay your tax and shut up. What's the complaint? It's a choice that you have to make. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God told us to make a choice. Well, we Americans have made that choice. In case you didn't know what choice you'd made, in verse 15, this is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, he said, "See, I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command you this day to love the Eternal your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Eternal your God shall bless you in the land where you go in to possess it." Then in verse 17 he says, "But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but if you shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, then I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land where you go in over Jordan to possess it. Now I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, both you and your seed, or that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Eternal your God." Now, what is love? Does anybody know? Remember, we code-pled this out here a program or two back. It's very simple. Look up the word love in 1 John 5, verse 2 and 3. It'll tell you. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You show love to your neighbor by not committing adultery with his wife. You show love to your neighbor by not stealing his automobile or his lawnmower. When you practice the law that says, 'Thou shalt not steal,' and you don't steal your neighbor's property, you're showing love to your neighbor." See how simple that is? All right. Now, God told you He wanted you to love Him. How do you love Him? Obey Him and keep His commandments. How do you show love to your parents? Obey your parents' commandments. And it's simple enough to figure out. I mean, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure it out. Preachers can't figure that out, but if you're not a preacher, there might be some hope for you. In verse 20, he says, "That you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey His voice, and that you may cleave unto Him. For He is your life and your length, and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Eternal your God gave unto your swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." We here in the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada are the heirs of that contract. It's called the Old Covenant. Now, instead of practicing that law, we've thrown it out here in the United States. We threw the Bible out. About 1950, we said we got to have separation of church and state. Up until 1947, we didn't have that in our lexicon. By 1962, we not only had it in our lexicon, we had it written into our law. You can't have a Bible in public school. We're not going to allow that. But the income tax now requires that we use unjust weights and balances. The tax is on dollars denominated on credit instruments, not gold and silver coin, measured in just weights and balances. Article 1, Section 10 of our Constitution followed this statute in the Law of Moses. See, Article 1, Section 10 of our Constitution is an extrapolation from Leviticus 19, 35 and 36, and Deuteronomy, was it Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16, I believe it is. "You shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. The only purpose for paper money is to steal. It doesn't serve any other purpose. And everybody that uses it steals from the people they give it to, and in the process they're being stolen from, which is the penalty that they pay for using it in the first place." It's kind of like going into Flo's whorehouse. You come out with a dose of gonorrhea or clap, which is the just desserts that you earn for going in there to start with. You went in there to break the law, and you did, and you get a penalty for it. AIDS, herpes, VD. They call these sexually transmitted diseases. All right, now take a look at economic law. Every time you violate one of these economic laws, there's a penalty that you have to pay for the violation of that law. I mean, I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting to you that that's the way it works. The world around us has natural penalties. You're driving down the road, you see a sign that says slow to 35 miles an hour. It's got an arrow that points to the left. You look at that sign and you say, you know, I think those guys are lying to me. So you speed up to 70 and you take the turn at 70. Then the laws of physics take over. Your car flies off the road. It rolls over 5 times, kills 3 people in your car, but it doesn't kill you. Do you come out of the car and say, you know, I'm the proximate cause of my own injury. I didn't follow that law. I didn't follow that guide that told me to slow to 35. I sped up to 70. I've never met anybody that ever told me, I'm not going to practice those laws. You know, just your common sense tells you. Now, after having been raped, robbed, and pillaged in this country, you know, for many, many years, you'd think most of us would be able to figure this out. They don't. They don't. They're out here going to political conventions, and they're out here voting and doing this, that, and another thing, pawing the ground, biting the bushes, and complaining about the IRS, but nobody seems to be able to put their finger on the pulse of the problem, which is you're in violation of these basic economic laws of the Scripture. Now, the Scripture tells you not to practice unjust weights and balances. Don't pay usury and interest. Never go surety for anybody. Never put up your land or never put up your property as collateral for a loan. People do it anyway. They'll come here to school and say, well, what should I do, Mr. Gordon? I say, well, let me show you what you should do over here. And they go out and do the exact opposite. If I wanted to play psychological games, if there was something that was good for you, what I would do is tell you the exact opposite. You should speed up to 70 every time you come to a 35-mile-an-hour sign. Don't believe them. They're lying to you. And I think everybody would slow down to 35 and say, you know, that guy Gordon over there told me to speed up to 70, but, you know, I'm not going to do that. So instead, I tell them, slow down to 35. The guy that wrote the sign meant what he said. And they say, no, that guy Gordon's lying to me. I think I'll speed up to 70. And they do, and then they get hurt, and then they get mad at me. Not entirely clear why, but they do. Now, in Leviticus 19, 35 and 36, we're instructed here. Listen to this. He said, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment in meat yard, or in measure, just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I'm the Eternal, your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, we used just weights and measures in this country until 1933, when House Joint Resolution 192 took gold coin out of circulation, and the Coinage Act of 1965 took our silver coin out of circulation. Gold and silver are property. The income tax does not seek to tax property. Can you remember that? There's no tax on gold and silver. There's no reporting requirements either. If I had $100,000 worth of gold coin and shipped it out of the country in the morning, there's no reporting requirements. But if I ship $10,000 anywhere in the country, I mean, I don't care what you do with it, you got to report that to the IRS. And it makes all the sense in the world. After all, those are Federal Reserve notes. Those are obligations of a United States corporation called the Federal Reserve. It's a private corporation, and they have to keep track of where those notes are located. So if you're going to use somebody else's notes, you've got to report to the guy whose notes you're using what you're doing with them. And that's just where reality's at. And if you think about it, it makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? That's why I deal in gold and silver coin, because I want to practice the Fourth and Fifth Amendments to our federal constitution, our Bill of Rights. I don't want to report to the government how much money I make, and I don't. And that's because I don't deal in Federal Reserve notes, negotiable instruments, credit cards, banks, and mortgages, and interest, and usury, and so on. I deal in property, which is precisely what we were instructed to do in the Scriptures in Leviticus 19, 35, and 36. You deal in just weights and balances, and all of a sudden, your privacy problems just evaporate. Just evaporate. Yeah, I got to take a quick break here. Why don't you stand by, go get a can of beer or a soda pop or something, and we'll be right back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, when people call the law school, they ask oftentimes how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air. Keep in mind that most of these topics that you hear on the radio, I teach in detail in one of my classes here at the law school. For example, when you hear me talking about the common law, it was Alfred the Great who codified the common law in 872 A.D. into 49 principles or statutes, of which 22 were incorporated into our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Now, the common law was taken from the Mosaic law given to Moses at Mount Sinai. That's recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8. And it includes negligence, insurance, and taxes, such as income, property, and Social Security taxes. And these IRS tax laws are a counterfeit of the tithing laws of Scripture, and they work a theft on everyone who participates in them. Now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us a better way of life than income tax and Social Security, and that's the basis of my tax and status school. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status, why don't you write for my free general law CD package? It's educational, informative, entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can order yours by simply calling 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website and send me an email. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request. Remember, again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. You know, we Americans, using just weights and balances without the income tax under Article 1, Section 10 of our Constitution and the Coinage Act of 1792, we became the wealthiest, most powerful, and prosperous nation in the world. We were the world's number one creditor nation. Now, we are the world's number one debtor nation. We were the world's most productive nation. In 1950, America led the world in the 15 leading indicators of industrial production. In 1950, America produced 100 million tons of steel, while all of the rest of the world combined only produced about 27 million tons. Not even a third of what America produced. America produced 3.5 million automobiles, while all of the rest of the world combined produced only 750,000. America was the number one producer of rubber, aluminum, coal, ships, airplanes, copper, and locomotives. Today, America is no longer number one in any of these 15 leading indicators of industrial production. Robbing God is not the way to prosperity, and paying the income tax is robbing God, the Creator God. Now, the income tax requires that we practice idolatry. In Exodus 20, verse 3, we're instructed, "You shall have no other gods before me." The United States of America is a god. The United States of America is a sovereign. And a sovereign is a lawmaker. God is a lawmaker. God is a sovereign. Worship is obedience to your sovereign's law. Disobedience to your sovereign is a crime. Crime against your sovereign is treason. Treason against the Creator God is idolatry. Idolatry is treason against God. Treason and idolatry are both capital felonies, punishable by death. Punishable by death by both God of heaven and the God of the United States of America. Now, no man can serve two masters, remember? Paying the income tax requires of us that we practice idolatry. Idolatry is not a good idea because it violates the first commandment. Now, the eighth commandment is the basis of personal private property. It says in Exodus 20, verse 15, "Thou shalt not steal." Just four words, and God can say more in four words than the U.S. Congress was able to say in all of Title 18 of the U.S. Code. "Thou shalt not steal" is the exact opposite of the first plank of the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the total abolition of all property rights. The first plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for the abolition of property and land and the application of all rent of land to public purposes. The second plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for a heavy progressive income tax, which is the exact opposite to tithing. which requires a uniform tax of 10%, not a discriminatory progressive feature. In order for us to pay this income tax, we must deal in credit, commercial paper, stocks, bonds, Federal Reserve notes, mortgages. All of these instruments are unjust weights and balances. They create a theft upon us and the people that we deal with. And when you buy a cow and pay for it with a check, you steal the cow with pieces of paper for dollars of cow. Inflation is another form of theft. The maker of the paper prospers, and the users of the paper perish. Now the 10th commandment prohibits coveting. In Exodus 20, verse 17, it says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, you shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox or his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor's." Coveting. It's the intent statute of the Ten Commandments. Crime comes in two forms, or there's two elements to a crime. They put it that way. A crime requires an act with intent. If you have an act without intent, you don't have a crime. If you have intent without an act, you don't have a crime. So in order for us to have a crime, we have to have act with intent. Crime requires two elements, an act with intent. The Mosaic Law cites covetousness as a crime in itself. See Matthew 5, verse 28, where lusting after a woman is a violation of the adultery statute. Government instilled lust in the hearts of every American by doling out tax dollars for Social Security welfare, food stamps, and all the rest of the government tax dollars and tax giveaways. We call it income redistribution. What they're redistributing is somebody else's money and giving it to you. 51% of Americans are receiving some government check, some form of payment, income redistribution. Government doesn't have any money. Government doesn't make any money. Government doesn't create anything. Government consumes much and produces nothing. Everything that government has to give to somebody else, they first had to take from somebody to give it to you. Now, it's called income redistribution. It is the product of the heavy progressive income tax, the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. The basic principle of tithing and the tithing system is bound up in these two statutes. In Exodus 12, verse 49, it says, "And one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourns among you." In Exodus 30, verses 11 through 15, "And the Eternal spake unto Moses, and he said, When you take the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Eternal, and you shall, or when you shall number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. This they shall give, every one that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. A half shekel shall be the offering of the Eternal, every one that passes among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Eternal. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Eternal to make an atonement for your souls." Now, why is it that God just can't get it through his head that we need a progressive income tax? My God, rich people should pay 3 or 4 shekels, and poor people should pay nothing or less than half. Well, I didn't write the law. I'm just reporting the facts to you, and the facts are that when God said he wanted a half a shekel from everybody in the country, he meant just half a shekel from everybody in the country. Period. Once. One time. I got guys out here that are collecting a half a shekel every year. Wasn't that just real special? Or they got churches and preacher men over here, you know, collecting tithes, and they're not Levites. Then you got the government over here acting in the capacity of the civil service, which is a counterfeit of the Levitical priesthood, and they're collecting the tax. They call it an income tax. And the guy that's supposed to get it, God, and his agents, the Levites, get left out in the cold. That's why God asked you the question. Remember that rhetorical question in Malachi 3, verse 8? Will a man rob God? Yeah, you've robbed me. And you say, wherein have we robbed you? Well, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings, and you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me. Cursed with a curse. You can't get your benefits. Now, these two statutes are the exact opposite to a heavy progressive income tax, which has two laws and taxes. One law for the rich and one law for the poor. The uniformity in the tax policy, which is mandated by our Constitution, is not, in fact, followed by indexing tax rates to higher and higher income. But under the tithing system, we see uniformity in that the tax is paid by everyone, and that the rich do not pay more, and the poor do not pay less. You know, when you got an aircraft carrier out there floating around in the ocean, does it give three times as much protection to the rich than it does the poor? Who was it that came over here and sold us this crap called the Communist Manifesto, anyway, in place of tithing and saddled us with an income tax? That doesn't come from Americans. That's a foreign and alien ideology. That doesn't come from the Bible. It doesn't come from God. And it doesn't come from Jesus Christ. It comes from Satan the devil. It comes from Russia. It comes from Germany. These two statutes are the exact opposite to the heavy progressive income tax. Now, Social Security violates the strict liability statute in the following site. In Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36, it says, if an ox gores a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it's been testified to his owner, and his owner has not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. That's called negligence. Now, if there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he has gored a son or has gored a daughter. According to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit, not cover it, and an ox or an ass falls therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his own. And if one man's ox hurt another's that it die, then he shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox has used to push in times past, and his owner has not kept him in, he shall surely pay for ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. This is the basis of what we call in law today strict liability. We Americans don't practice strict liability. We practice limited liability. That's why we buy insurance. We buy insurance, which is the definition of limited liability. We don't want to be responsible for our actions. We don't want to be responsible for our old age. We don't want to be responsible for accidents that we may cause out on the highways. We don't want to be responsible for people that fall down on our steps. We don't want responsibility. Well, boys and girls, we don't have responsibility, and as a result, we don't have freedom. We don't have liberty. You see, liberty belongs to those who are responsible. People that are irresponsible have to be guarded. That's why we call it a guardian ward relationship. The insurance company becomes your guardian, and then they go to the legislature to get seatbelt laws and speed regulations enacted. And then they hire policemen who go out on the highways and badger you. And then you call this tyranny. Well, the only reason you have this tyranny is because you're not responsible for your own actions. Anytime you get ready to be responsible for your own actions and deal in strict liability instead of limited liability, you can have your freedom back. Hang on, we'll be back with a closer right after this. All right, you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, people call the law school and they ask how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air, and every topic that I cover on the air I teach in detail in one of my classes. Classes that are tailored for busy people in every walk of life, people just like you. For example, when we talk about the origin of the common law and how is the common law applicable today, how do we use the common law in court, on the street, at home, or at work? Where did the common law come from anyway, and of what value is it in the 21st century? Well, the common law is very important because it affects your status, and your status is how you're being taxed. And it's important because it affects your property, or your lack of property. And the common law lesson is the first of 46 lessons in my tax and status school. And in that school, I have three basic goals. First, let me show you how to stay out of jail. Second, let me show you how to save your assets. And third, let me show you how to solve your tax problem once and for all time. So if you want to live your life peaceably and be left alone, this tax and status class is for you. You can write, call, or wire George Gordon. Just ask for the free general law CD package, and I'll show you why the common law is so important to you and in so many different ways. Now, for more information about my tax and status school, just call and order my free general law CD package. That's the place to start. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call and order yours right now. The number 417-273-4967. Remember, my tax and status school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email, and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the income tax. Primarily, tax protest in the scriptures. Taxes in the scriptures. Negligence. Laws that we use every day today have been used for thousands of years. We just have different names for them. You know, today we call it insurance. In ancient times, we called it individual responsibility. When I was a youngster growing up, we emphasized in our public education system individual responsibility. Today, we don't practice individual responsibility, nor do we teach our children individual responsibility. We teach them insurance. Don't be responsible for your own actions. Let somebody else be responsible. So today, people are not responsible for their health or their health decisions. They go to doctors. They're not responsible for their legal problems or their legal decisions. They go to lawyers. They're not responsible for their teeth. They go to dentists. We are a nation of incompetent people. We used to be a nation of competent people. Today, we're no longer competent. We rely on paid professionals to advise us, to direct us, to guide us. We're not politically competent. We elect representatives who have our power of attorney to go to Washington or Jefferson City to enact our laws for us. I'm not too sure that that's such a wise idea. I think that the laws that God gave us were pretty good the way they were. I don't think Dianne Feinstein and Hillary Clinton or Barbara Boxer are going to add a whole lot to thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not commit adultery. Seems like to me those laws are pretty good just the way they are. I don't think that the laws on tithing are going to be improved by Congress or the President, who says to us that maybe we need a national value added tax, a VAT tax. I don't think President Bush has a better line on taxes than God Almighty. I think I'll just stick with God and I'll pay the tithe 10%, and I'll let the rest of you pay whatever you want to whoever you want. You know, the scripture teaches and requires that everyone must be responsible for his own actions, and that includes old age, unemployment, workman's compensation, welfare, and food stamps. The opposite, of course, to strict liability is limited liability. Limited liability is insurance, and every casualty that can be covered by insurance is the penalty for the violation of a criminal act. Social Security is a causal coverage for a criminal act. Poverty is the penalty for the violation of economic laws. Medicare is the coverage for sickness or disease caused by the violation of health laws. Unemployment insurance is a reward for indolence. Social Security is a voluntary system that no one's required to participate in. Participation in Social Security's limited liability program is a willful violation of the strict liability statute of Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. Now, the income tax requires of us that we make covenants or contracts with foreign and alien gods in violation of the following scriptural sites. There are a number of statutes in the scriptures that deal with not making covenants with foreign and alien gods, and the following sites probably are the best and clearest of these statutes. In Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33, we're instructed, quote, "You shall make no covenants, you shall make no contracts with them." With who? Foreign and alien gods. What's a god? It's a sovereign. What's a sovereign? The state of Texas. "You shall make no covenants or contracts with the state of Texas or the United States or any other country. With their gods, they shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you to sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it'll surely be a snare unto you." So if you want to serve Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, well, go ahead, but it'll be a snare unto you. In Exodus 34:10 through 17, here's what God has to say about it. He says, "Behold, I make a covenant before all of your people, and I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all of the people among which you are shall see the work of the Eternal. And it is a terrible thing that I'm going to do with you. Observe you that which I command you this day. Behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of you, but you shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. For if you shall worship no other god but me, for the Eternal whose name is jealous is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call you, and you eat of his sacrifice. And you take of their daughters unto your sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their strange gods, and make your sons to go a-whoring after their gods, you shall make you no molten gods." Well, we've got one big one, the Statue of Liberty. Now, Leviticus 18, verses 3 through 5, God gives us a little more instruction on these laws. He says, "After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I bring you, shall you not do, and neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I'm the Eternal your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them. I'm the Eternal." In modern English, we would word it this way: "After the doings of the land of the United States, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do, and after the doings of the land of California, where I bring you, shall you not do, and neither shall you walk in their statutes, judgments, and laws. You shall do my judgments and keep my laws, statutes, and judgments to walk therein. I'm the Eternal your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them." You know, we Americans today practice the laws of California, Washington, Idaho, the United States, Canada, Australia. We don't practice the laws of God. Why, we've thrown God out totally. In Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2, "Then the Eternal your God shall bring you in unto the land wherein, whether you go in to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Eternal your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and totally destroy them, and you shall make no covenants with them, nor show any mercy to them." We Americans, we make covenants with every state agency. Why, we just can't wait to go down there and sign up for welfare, food stamps, unemployment insurance. Every benefit that these gods have, every contract that they offer, we're right down there to collect. Now, the 1040 form is a contract, and the W-4 form is a contract. Social Security and marriage licenses, business license, they're all contracts with these foreign and alien gods that are strictly prohibited in these statutes. And the people who actually practice the law of God are a minority of people characterized as the salt of the earth in Matthew 5, verse 13. Salt is not the meal. Salt is the flavor. You are called a peculiar people in the following scriptural sites. In Exodus 19, 5 and 6, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people of the earth. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel." And in Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, he says, "For you are a holy people unto the Eternal your God, and the Eternal has chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." And I don't see that going on in most of the United States where I travel a lot. We don't have peculiar people. We have usual and ordinary people, everyday garden variety people, people that sign up for unemployment insurance and workman's compensation and Social Security. You don't see peculiar people. In Deuteronomy 26, verses 18 and 19, he says, "And the Eternal has avouched you this day to be his peculiar people, as he has promised you, and that you should keep all of his commandments and make you high above all the nations which he has made in praise and in name and in honor, and that you may be a holy people unto the Eternal your God, as he has spoken." I don't think most Americans want to be a holy people unto God. I think we want to be a usual, ordinary group of people, just criminals and ordinary sadists and sadists who are out here violating every law that we can possibly imagine. We want to be sodomites and homosexuals. We want to practice bestiality. We want to practice adultery. We want to use unjust weights and balances. We want to violate the economic laws. We don't like the results that we get. But we certainly don't want to practice the law of God, at least not here in the United States. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he said, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." These peculiar people are training to be judges. A judge is a priest. The priests are holy. People who practice the law are holy. What is wrong with being holy? What's wrong with being holy, righteous, just, and good? What's wrong with being holy, righteous, just, and good? Doesn't that appeal to you? Well, it doesn't include Social Security, the income tax, or the Communist Manifesto. Well, we talked a little about Gideon. Gideon was our first tax protester that we read of in the Scripture. We took a look here at some statutes concerning the Messiah. He didn't advocate the income tax. In fact, the people that were trying to entrap him, he craftily evaded. Those people that are trying to entrap you are pretty crafty people. We call them IRS special agents. And they're out trying to discover whether or not you've been paying your taxes according to the contract that you've made with your God, the United States of America. All right, remember, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is brought to you by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Gordon Law School and the Law Hour, just go to the website, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school teaches a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement only. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. Well, there's the signal. It says my time is up. We'll have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, right here. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.